Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
My name is Dave Denniston, and welcome to the latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, I recently took a survey of physicians, and in that survey, one of the questions that I asked is, what is your biggest financial concern? And time again, physician after physician answered one word: reimbursements. And we all know how reimbursements are under pressure. The government is becoming more and more stingy. Requirements through EMR systems like ICD-10 are stressing us out. Then on top of that, keeping track of cash flow has been like a cat chasing its tail, like a hamster running on a wheel, and it can feel so frustrating. So I've been on a mission to help empower physicians with knowledge, with resources, and tools to combat this problem. I've often heard it said that physicians have a Porsche drawer, a drawer worth $70,000 or $80,000 or even $100,000 of bills yet to be paid by insurance companies or the patients. So our next guest, he is the founder and CEO of a company trying to speed all this stuff up. And I think he'd say he only wants you to have an empty drawer and a full bank account. And before founding his company, he was the CSO of Mobilesmith for 7 years. And to be honest, I don't know what that means, but I'm sure he will tell us what a CSO is. In 2008, he founded his current company, Patient Pay, and their focus has been on driving down expenses by eliminating all this labor-intensive and error-prone stuff, the back-end effort of paper bills. And he even landed and was granted 3 patents for their innovative processes that permit instant integration with all kinds of management and billing systems. And as a matter of fact, he has been quoted in at least a dozen publications that I could find online, everything from Physicians Practice to Becker's Hospital CFO to HIS Talk. Needless to say, he's been very busy. Please help me welcome Tom Furr, the CEO of Patient Pay. Welcome, Tom.
Dave, thank you for having me. You're too kind in those words. I don't think I've done half as much as what you said, but it's going to be on the show.
Hey, I'm so glad to have you here. Well, tell us about you and your journey. What were you doing before Patient Pay, and what the heck is a CSO?
So CSO is Chief Sales Officer, and we were our last company was working on developing applications to enhance the small business process to make it better for them to do business. And we worked with companies like Amway to help their independent business owners do more commerce online. We worked with banks like Bank One, and before they got merged with JP Morgan Chase. So we've been building applications, software as a service applications, that really help small businesses with regards to commerce, online commerce.
So you were in basically a banking field of a sort.
You got the fintech, as they call it today. That's right.
Interesting. And is that you don't strike me as someone that's a coder. So when you come up with Patient Pay, what inspired you to find this and found it and get it going? So the transition from doing the kinds of activities you were doing before, I could see some skills translating here, but what inspired you to change gears?
Well, we were at our last company, we were in the payments business, and when a client of any of our partners went and tried to purchase something, we helped them do that. So we did all the credit card processing, debit card processing, and all that was done on the back end. And I had a friend come to me and try and explain to me healthcare payments. And I, quite frankly, had never paid a healthcare bill in my life. My wife had always paid it, if there were any at the time.
Or the insurance company, right?
Exactly. So prior to the ACA, or the Affordable Care Act that was passed, some people call it Obamacare, most bills were paid from the insurance company. And there was very few bills paid from the patient. But what has transpired over the last 5 or so years since the ACA has been enacted is that more and more people are buying high deductible plans out there. In fact, I just read a stat that it's over 25% of people out there today have high deductible plans and expect it to go well north of 50, potentially in the 70 to 80% range in the next 3 to 5 years. So what's happened from a doctor's perspective is that they're used to collecting dollars from the insurance company, and that's where most of their payments came. And if there were any out-of-pocket dollars, you know, they try and collect it primarily with paper statements. And if they collected it, great. If they didn't collect it, no big deal, because it was only, you know, 1%, 2% of their, you know, receivables that they got. And that shift, which with the ACA has happened fairly rapidly, and now it's estimated that by 2020, according to the CEO of Aetna, at least a third of payments are going to be coming from the patient. And as you know, if those payments aren't automated and collected efficiently, it gets to be expensive, slow, and error-prone. And we've developed some technology to help automate that whole process, which today is primarily paper statements. So according to the it's called the MGMA, the Medical Managers Association, it takes 3.3 paper statements before a patient will even pay their bill. So a physician's office has to send out all of this paper, which is expensive, you know, anywhere from 75 cents to a dollar. That's correct. It's very expensive. It's slow. So you got to wait, you know, 90 to 120 days. You know that from a cash flow perspective, you know, that's just not sustainable. And then it's airplanes.
Just tell a personal story real quick. Sure. My being self-employed as I am, we have a small office here, and so everyone has their own insurance plan. And I can tell you from our own personal experience, we had a lower deductible plan, but now the premium has literally doubled. And so as a consumer, we had to make the decision and look at our family being relatively younger, a 10-year-old and a 3-year-old and 30-somethings, that we would bet better on our own health. And so we chose to do higher deductible plans. And you know what happens for us? We get the bills in the mail, and we end up, I tell my wife, particularly if there did end up being something happening, which does happen every so often, having to go to the ER or a really bad flu and whatnot, I tell my wife to delay on these things because there's no penalty for holding out for 90 days. So I can personally attest to this, that this is something that we do in our household as a consumer, because it's not like a credit card bill where you get hit with a 15 or 20% interest rate.
Well, and I'm very similar to you. In fact, I've got a great story I'll tell you about in a minute. But most patients have been trained like you to wait because the bills are normally wrong and they're confusing. And so they just wait until, you know, the quote-unquote collection letter comes, and then they pay it. And an example that I had last year, I have kids similar to yours. Mine are 13 and 11, and my daughter, who's the youngest, plays soccer. And she, in late 2014, ended up, we thought she broke her ankle playing soccer. Luckily, it was only needed a boot, but we had to go to the emergency room. And then in February of 2015, just about a year ago, ended up falling and breaking her wrist. And, of course, had to go to the emergency room and get a cast put on. Well, in June of last year, we got bills from UNC Hospital. Great service when we went there, great doctors, great facility. But when the bills come from a patient experience, it's absolutely confusing. And as I mentioned earlier, I really don't pay the bills. My wife pays all the bills. And finally, after being, you know, getting three or four of those, they start calling and saying, you owe us money. And she says, I don't understand this bill. Mm-hmm. You, Mr. Expert, can you go pay it? So I get the bill and I, of course, analyze it. And there's four numbers on it. there's a your responsibility, there's a total amount due, there's a due now, and then there's a past due. And the past due popped up for the date of her wrist. And so I went on to Blue Cross Blue Shield, who was our insurance plan, and looked up, you know, the EOBs. That's the patients get those. It's called explanation of benefits. That says, you know, this is how much we saved you. This is not a bill. Here's how much you owe. And the past due amount was $195.06, which was one of the four numbers that were on this bill. And so I, of course, said, okay, we must owe that, so I'm going to go and pay it. So I write my credit card on it, and I put a stamp on it and mail it in. A month later, we get a bill, and it shows that I did not pay that $195. And, of course, my wife goes nuts, says, I thought I asked you to take care of this. You know, they're going to put collection agencies on me. Was not real happy with me, and I said, I promise you I paid it. But let me call UNC Hospital and figure out, you know, why they didn't get the bill, you know, the payment that I sent in. And so after an hour on the phone with their help desk, and they've got a great help desk, I realized that their systems take those dollars. And because we had had something done in 2014, they processed my payment, but they posted it to this older balance. So when we got a new paper statement, we get this paper statement showing that what I really wanted to pay for wasn't paid for. And it's just, this is an expert in the business, living it day in and day out. And I had to spend 2 hours on the phone with this lady to figure out why it wasn't being posted properly. Did it even arrive? But these are the type of experiences that are happening day in and day out with people that have no idea how healthcare works. And that's the reason doctors are taking so long to get paid, because it's confusing. It's slow to arrive to you. People just assume that, you know, doctors don't need my payment. You know, they make enough money as it is. But it's a new day that, quite frankly, is going to be a major shift in the healthcare industry, because more and more dollars are coming from the patient. You're going to have to, you know, have a good patient experience. Have a good bill that makes sense, and you're going to have to collect those dollars, because, as you know, it's no longer a write-off of 1% to 2%, no big deal. It's now cash flow issues, because when it's 30% of your group or hospital or practice, it becomes major, major financial challenges, and that's where we come into play.
And so let me just take a step back for a second. So with the advent of the ACA and the advent of EMRs and ICD-10s, how is that integrating with what you're trying to do? Is it been a hindrance, a help? What does that look like from your perspective?
Well, what it can be called a practice management system or a hospital information system. The EMR part of it plays in the on the clinical side of it. So those systems were designed many, many years ago, and the government structured a way so that when you collected insurance payments, there was a standardized process, and you'd send these electronic claims out. A real-life example would be, let's say you go see your doctor today, and the doctor would post his notes at night saying, you know, I saw this patient, and I needed to see Dave and do this because of he had a sore throat. And then that system will automatically send an electronic claim off to your payer, and be it Blue Cross Blue Shield, United, Aetna, whoever it is. And when that payer gets it, they will what's referred to as adjudicate the claim. And over a week or two, they'll adjudicate it. They'll send that back to you, the doctor's office, electronically. And when it comes back, it posts automatically in those systems. And it'll say, you know, here's how much we allowed for that the procedure that you did. Based on the insurance plan of this patient, here's how much we're going to pay towards it. And here's what's left over, and you need to go collect. And today, all of those systems automatically dump that to a paper statement. And paper statements start to flow out. And hospitals can send, I was with one earlier this week, 5, 6, 7 paper statements before they then make calls and send off to collections agencies. Docs can send 3 or 4 before they get paid or make calls. But it's a very archaic approach because, again, most of the payments weren't from the patient. And so the interesting thing is, according to the U.S. Postal Service, today 60% of people pay their bills online. which is why the U.S. Postal Service is having such a tough time at it. Yet in healthcare, most of the bills have been and continue to be sent by paper. And so what we've done is we have tricked those systems, and they're, you know, big hospital systems like a Cerner or an Epic. The smaller ambulatory groups would be like an Allscripts, a Greenway. There's a whole bunch of them out there. But we've tricked those systems to treat patient pay like one of those payer payments, which is an automated manner. It reconciles back to the event, so all of those issues I had with my daughter would have never happened. And by tricking that system to treat our payments, patient payments, like the payer payments, everything's automated. So now you don't have to send paper statements out because we send stuff electronically. And when you get it, of course, people, most of the time, in our instance, they pay it within 14 days of getting that bill because, one, it's electronic like they do everything else. Two, our bills match up to that EOB I was mentioning about, so that this is not a bill from United Healthcare or Blue Cross Blue Shield. You know, this is how much we saved you. Here's how much we paid towards it. Here's how much you owe. So when you get our bill, it matches up with the EOB. And Citibank did a focus group a number of years ago. And 71% of the people said that if my EOB, my insurance plan, tells me I owe this, and my doctor's bill tells me I owe that, I'll pay it every time. And ironically, we're seeing 75% of our people, once they log into our bill, pay it within 14 days. And we think it's that ease of use, doing things the way you're doing it anyway, and the comfort level of, okay, my insurance company's saying I owe it, my doctor's saying I owe it, I should go ahead and pay this. And that's the key differentiation that we're doing versus everyone else, and that's why we got those patents issued, because of that methodology that enables us to treat patient payments just like insurance payments. And the benefit to the doctor is that when we collect those payments, and that we, of course, fund the doctor's account, we then reconcile that payment back into their system just like insurance payments, so it's all automated for them. So they don't have to manually, you know, scan these checks to get them to then manually update the systems. So it's just a much better process.
Well, I love automation. I'm all about that. A lot of my systems are built around automation. And with that being said, I want to automate real quick into a commercial break. So we'll take a quick break here for a minute and come right back to the conversation to learn more about this system and ask some more questions.
If you're like most members of my audience, you are committed to being an amazing doctor and succeeding at life. But the truth is you've never received financial training during medical school, and you struggle with having enough time to do it all. And maybe you've even made a few mistakes along the way. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, The Tax Reduction Prescription, and the brand new ebook, 5 Steps to Overcome Common Physician Financial Mistakes. Now, as a matter of fact, you can't buy 5 Steps to Overcome, but you can get the entire ebook for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my podcast, so you don't always have to visit my podcast website. Plus, my newsletter subscribers get the first crack at exclusive offers and lots of free stuff. You can get an excerpt from the Tax Reduction Prescription and your free copy of 5 Steps to Overcome Common Physician Financial Mistakes ebook by visiting drfreedompodcast.com. And just simply enter your name and email in the form on the page.
Now we're back. All right, well, welcome back, everyone. So we've been talking here to Tom Furr, the CEO of Patient Pay, and Tom was just talking about the automated processes of patient pay, which I love automation, making things automatic with all these computer technologies we have nowadays. Now, Tom, one of the things I have to imagine that's a difficulty as someone building this software and integrating it with these multiple EMR providers, there has to be some glitches along the way. So what does that look like as you've developed this product over the last 7 years? What kind of glitches have happened with patient pay?
Well, healthcare is a very challenging industry because you have a lot of different people involved. with regards to payments. You've got the provider, the doctors involved, trying to determine, you know, this is what I did. You've got the insurance company involved that says, you know, this is what we'll allow and this is what we'll pay. And then you got the patient involved who says, okay, I need to pay something. So the challenges that we've had in particular is making sure that, one, we capture all of that information and it's in unison, right? So it's both syncing up. That can be very challenging because a doctor could say one thing, the insurance company could say something else. And of course, the patient needs to determine what's right and what's not when paying that bill. And so we really stumbled into our methodology of treating patient payments just like insurance payments from a functional perspective by realizing that the only way to do that and not disrupt the workflow of a practice or a hospital or a large physician group is to treat these, you know, again, work within their workflow and make sure that, you know, we treat patient payments just like you do insurance payments. And that took a long time, much longer than what I had anticipated. But those are the complexities of healthcare that if you can simplify it for the provider, obviously, the doctor first, the patient second, it turns out to have, you know, good results. And we're very pleased with the results that we've had up to this point with patients. Again, 75% of the patients, when they get to our bill, pay it. That's unheard of in healthcare. One of our practices that we're working with is a big national group in all the major metropolitan areas. They gave us a number of their back bills because they were having trouble collecting them. Again, it was just the confusion of it. We actually collected 75% of those bills in a couple of major metropolitan areas that we did this for them in. Again, we think because they looked at our bill, they then went online and looked in their insurance plan, and it said, yes, you owe this. And, of course, our bill said you owe it, and they paid it. So we really feel that, like, the ability to simplify a bill in the healthcare world, people want to pay their bills. They just want to make sure they're paying for what they owe. And by simplifying it for the patient, it adds lots of value to the physicians and enables them to automate their patient payments just like they do their insurance payments.
So with this whole process, obviously you guys are a for-profit company. You're not a non-profit company. And I think of payment processors like a PayPal or other credit card processing companies, there's usually a 3% charge or so, or 5% or 2%, depending upon the clientele. So for you guys, you know, are you charging a monthly fee? Are you involved in the payment processing? How are you guys making money?
We are just like a PayPal or a Square or any of those merchant processors. We charge a percentage of the fee, so we're performance-based. So if we don't collect, we don't get paid. If we collect, we keep a percentage of the transaction. And the great thing about our system is that for all the people we work with, we can show a cost savings of anywhere from $3 to $4 to $5 per payment we collect by the automation. So by eliminating those paper statements, you've now eliminated a hard cost that normally you'd pay for whether you collect or not. By eliminating that back-end automation, you've now eliminated a cost of manually having to type stuff in. So to your point, automation is mission critical when it comes to healthcare, because the only way to handle growing volumes of these payments is to make it automated. And the only way to make money from a practice is to automate it and keep your costs down. So we are, to answer your question, just like a Square or a PayPal or any of the many merchant processors out there, the uniqueness is we only focus on healthcare, and we've designed these systems specifically for healthcare.
So in terms of that percentage, how does that differ from practice to practice? I imagine, like most payment processors, for example, I use a software called Infusionsoft to automate, and they have their own merchant account. I've used PayPal in the past. And the more volume you do, the more discount they give you. How does that work on your side?
So obviously, just like a Square or a PayPal, we have very competitive rates. And like I said, we can show cost savings to any of the folks that we work with that are much better than what they're doing with regards to paper statements and traditional healthcare processes, so that so our pricing is in line with where they are, but more importantly, we can show a cost savings that's substantial to the practice.
No, I understand. So what does that look like, though? What is that scale? Does it change based off of volume? So a smaller practice might pay more than a larger practice.
It does, but all of our practices, we have confidentiality agreements in them. Uh-huh. And so I'm not allowed to say specifically what our pricing is. But obviously a larger hospital system that's doing, you know, billions of dollars of billable patient payments is, you know, going to get a little better rate than a hospital group that, you know, is not as big as them.
Sure. No, I think that's fair. I just want to be clear about how it works. And what do you think in the future for you guys in terms of where this service could go? What's a way that you guys want to improve? How do you want to get better doing what you do?
You know, Dave, one of the things that we're going to be rolling out soon is the ability for a patient to know before they come to the doctor's office what's going to be expected of them from a financial perspective. And then when they arrive at the doctor's office, you know, what is, you know, owed now? And again, it's an estimate, but at least it gives them the mindset of I'm going in here and this is what I'm expected to pay. And then of course, if there's anything left over after they've left, we will then bill them electronically. So it's kind of an end-to-end solution that makes it a much better patient experience, and it helps the doctors get paid more. The worst thing about this whole experience with UNC Hospital was that we knew we were going to owe something, but we had no idea. You know, we didn't know whether it was going to be $500, $1,000, or $5,000. And that's healthcare today. You kind of get sticker shock after the fact. So it's kind of like going out and buying a car, driving it home, driving it around for a month or two, and then you get the bill for it. And, you know, you didn't expect to have to pay $50,000. You only wanted a $25,000 car. So we feel strongly that from a patient engagement perspective, to take the experience as you would in any other thing you do today, from, you know, here's what you're going to have to expect to pay, to now you need to pay something when you're at the office, and then, you know, you're going to have to pay the remaining amount once the claim's adjudicated by your insurance plan. That's the future, and that's where we're going to be very soon.
Something that I've had to get on the last year again is braces. And, you know, the way that they work, that system, which I think the medical community could learn more from, is essentially they put me on a monthly payment system. So they took my credit card right up front. So there was an initial appointment where they didn't charge for it, do a little consultation, and then they charge a monthly basis. So you know exactly what you're going to be paying. Do you see anything like that integrating into medicine with where things are headed today?
We actually have that in our platform today. We give you the ability to have a payment plan because a lot of people can't afford, you know, these very expensive bills. But we actually have just partnered up with Henry Schein, so we're starting to learn about the dental space as well. So hopefully, the next time you go in there, you'll see that patient pays your payment platform that your dentist is using. Because Henry Schein's a big dental platform, in fact, the largest dental platform out there today.
Interesting. And getting back to physicians, what do you guys see the future holding? What does it look like for docs?
Well, physicians are going to have to start running their group, their practice, as a business. And, you know, businesses have to get paid. And if they don't get paid, then that means, you know, you can't pay your rent. You can't pay your staff. You can't pay yourself. And so it's going to be a new day in the physician world where, you know, people have to talk about money. People have to talk about payments. And it's not that you wouldn't do that in any other thing you do today, but it's just something new to the healthcare world. And we feel like they're also going to need tools like ours that automate the process and eliminate the traditional paper statements that they're used to doing. And that's why we're so excited about the future, because the opportunities are just unlimitless because of the size of the industry. It's estimated that, according, again, from the CEO of Aetna, that there's going to be $1 trillion worth of payments coming from patients by 2020. There's only $5 trillion in total card spend across the U.S. That's when you use your card for dinner, you use your card for groceries, you use your card for gas. So it's a massive market opportunity.
Well, besides your own company, what are other resources you would recommend to physicians to max out reimbursements, whether they're electronic tools or coaching programs or courses or books? What are other good resources you would recommend?
Yep. In the reimbursement world, obviously, insurance payments are still the vast majority of your payments. So it's imperative that you file claims daily. You get those claims so that they're as clean as possible. Because, look, the insurance companies want to automatically process payments and pay the docs. They don't want to have to manually touch it because it costs them a whole bunch of money. So if you get clean claims out there and you get them out there frequently, you're going to get paid much quicker from the insurance company. And obviously, from a patient perspective, the sooner you get paid from the insurance company, the sooner you can get out to your patient to collect. So it's really doing what you've been doing, but doing it more frequently, and obviously making sure that there's no errors in these claims that go out. And that's just mission critical.
Do you have any good gurus, you think, that are good on this topic of maxing out reimbursements that you would recommend people to check out online?
You know, that's a good question. There's a whole bunch of resources out there. In fact, a lot of the hospital companies are even outsourcing their billings to, outside companies. That's all they do. But there's so many of them. I'd hate to even give you one or two because I probably don't have them all covered. But there are definitely resources out there that speak to the ability to code it properly and to get them processed quickly.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tom. I really appreciate your time. I know you're extremely busy with all this going on. Do you have any closing thoughts that you want to leave our audience with?
Well, Dave, I just want to say I appreciate talking to you and thank you for inviting me on. I enjoy reading all your stuff, and one of your books I read. It was very, very insightful.
But I
hope that we'll get an opportunity to speak again in the future, and good luck.
Well, thank you. And where can people find your company's website?
We're at patientpay.com. That's patientpay.com.
Okay, great. Well, if you are a physician or you're someone else servicing physicians and want to tell your story grappling with tough issues like reimbursements, I'd love to share it too in the next Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, so make sure to contact me on that. Otherwise, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on the podcast website, drfreedompodcast.com. You can contact me there. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and check in again soon. Have a good one.